Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, amen and amen. You may be seated. I know we're so used to having our greeting time. You know, of course, we won't be doing that for a little while. But folks, isn't it good to be gathered here together today? Amen. Glory to God. Well, it's just so good to see everybody inside. It's so good to see everybody outside. You know, I tell you what, we have not held a service in this building since March 22nd. So we're over 3.5 months, you know, since we've, you know, been in this building. It's good to be back. Praise the Lord. Of course, you'll notice our seating is a lot differently, you know, set up differently. You can see that there's plenty of distance here. We look forward to the days when this just gets back to normal completely. Praise God. But it's a good start here today. It's a good start here today. Folks, just a reminder for those of you that are inside. Of course, I know we don't have our children's ministries up and running, and we have, you know, kids inside the main service and stuff. Know that that's just the way it was done on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had kids on the hillside with him there. You know, if your child, you know, starts to make noise or something, you don't have to, you know, get all concerned. You know, we're not going to rush you. You know, we're not going to come and tackle your kid or something like that because they got a little noisy. You know, it's great to see a church where there's a bunch of, you know, young children, babies, you know, families, glory to God, raising kids. Listen, you know, churches for hundreds and hundreds of years, they didn't have children's church. Church was church for everybody. And so if you got to get up and if you got to walk the back with your child, or if you got to go out to the narthex or go find a room, I mean, you're welcome to do that as well. But folks, just know this. If your child just starts to squirm or something a little bit, cry a little bit in the service, we're not going to look cross-eyed at you. Folks, you know, especially if you've had children, you know how it takes, you know, patience, and you need the patience of others around you. So if a child starts to squirm or something around you or cry or something, don't turn around, you know, give them the laser eyeball or anything like that. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I don't know. Maybe we could bring me down just a little bit. I'm hearing myself, but again, we're in the building for the first time. I'm used to being outside. So now I'm hearing this echo of my own voice, and it just seems loud to me. But we're just got to get used to that again. Amen. Did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Turn with me in your Bibles over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I'm going to call this message today, the light of the Word. The light of the Word. The Word of God is what we're referring to. Folks, if there's anything that we need right now more than ever, that is the light of the Word of God. More than anything. Folks, it's just been stirring in me this past week. You know, over the next several weeks, I'm going to be teaching a series of messages about the significance of the Word of God. Today is going to be an introduction to that. I know we have many families traveling for the 4th of July weekend, though it certainly doesn't look like that, but we are missing several folks and what have you. So today is just going to be an introduction. Praise the Lord, but we're going to start to get into why the Word is so important. Folks, I'm going to say some things. It's not to diminish other things, but the Word is first and foremost. The Word of God before the manifestations of the Spirit, the Word of God before visions and experiences, the Word of God even before speaking in tongues or other spiritual exercises, the Word of God must be first and foremost in our lives. The Word of God is what is going to give us strength. The Word of God is where it all begins. Amen. The Word of God is what's going to lift this nation out of this crisis. The Word of God is what is going to provide when it looks like, you know, the world isn't going to provide. I'll tell you what, the Word is our answer, and we need to always remember to keep the Word first. The Word of God. And so today we're going to just start to see how significant the Word is in God's eyes, but also we're going to see what it looks like in our life when the Word of God or the light of the Word is active in our lives, okay? So we're going to keep it real simple, but folks, we got to hear this again. We got to be Word people first, Spirit people second. You know, if people, especially in the Pentecostal camp, if they would chase understanding of the Word of God as much as they chase spiritual experiences, we'd have this world saved already. All right? And so we need to keep the word first. Amen. Have you found John chapter 1? So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be reading through the first 14 verses. I won't be able to teach on all these verses, but I want you to see this passage in its entirety so that you can understand just how significant the word is. And I'm reading out of the King James Bible. We won't have our scriptures up on the screen here today. If you have your Bibles with you, please follow along. I know some of you, you got little kids in your arms and stuff like that. You're doing your best. And I tell you what, God sees that, and he's going to reward you for that. Amen. Isn't it good to see each other face to face? It sure is. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Isn't that awesome how that gospel starts? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, capital W, because it's not just, you know, words written on a page. It's not just a book. The Word is a person, is a somebody. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by him, the Word. So notice this, the Word is a him. Praise the Lord. And it says, without him, the Word, was not anything made that was made. In him, the Word, was life, or is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light of the Word shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. It says, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning John the Baptist was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And if you'll notice there in your Bible, the word light is capital L. Because now notice this, Jesus is called the Word. Now he's called the light. Capital W on Word, capital L on light. Amen. Verse 9 says, that was the true light, which lights every man or every person that comes into the world. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Think about that. Those people that were walking with Jesus in Israel 2,000 years ago, they did not realize that they were walking with the Creator. The Creator was walking those streets. The Creator was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. The one that made that mountain, the one that designed that sea, the one that thought of the flowers and the grass and the trees and all natural things, the Creator himself was sitting preaching to his creation. What an awesome thing. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So notice this, the people that were supposed to recognize him the most recognized him the least. And it says, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him. So how do you receive him? You receive his word. How do you receive the Creator? You receive his word. Notice what Jesus did first and foremost. He taught. He preached. And so now the Creator came to speak to his creation, and what he wanted the most is to be believed. He wanted to be heard. He wanted to be believed. Amen. But to as many as received him, the Word, to many as received him, the light of the Word, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hey, do we have any sons of God here today? Praise the Lord. Hit your horns out there in the parking lot. Praise God. You know, we know that if we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are the sons and daughters of the living God. We are the sons and daughters of the Creator. Amen. We're in the family. Verse 13 says, which we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're not just born of the flesh. We're born of the Spirit. We're not born out of the will of man. We're born by the will of God. Hallelujah. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, Jesus, and Jesus dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So that's what the Word is full of, right? The Word is full of grace and truth. Now go back to verse 1. Now, we're going to go through the first four verses here, and I just want you to see some things about how significant the word is, not just to you and me, but how significant the word is to God himself. We have to understand that the word of God is not just a book, though that it is contained in a book. It's not just words written on a page, though it is words written on a page. But the word of God is synonymous with God himself. Look at verse 1. Look at how God decided to reveal himself to the world. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." All right? Notice God has chosen to reveal himself as the Word. It could have just said, "In the beginning there was God." And there was this, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But notice he said, "In the beginning was the Word." God reveals himself as the Word. The term there, the Word, it literally means a spoken truth. God is saying, "I am a spoken truth." So not only does God's physical presence, God doesn't just go where his physical presence is. Anywhere where his word is spoken, God is there. God doesn't just have a word. God is the word. So anywhere where the word can be spoken, God can be put on the scene. Amen. Oh, man, I remember I was on a hunting trip with a pastor friend of mine. There were several of us there. Some gentlemen in the building today were there as well. And I remember Pastor Scott Webb, a pastor down in Alabama, friend of mine, he said this, you know, just kind of out of the blue one night before everyone was going to bed. He said, "You know, the word of God in your mouth is just as powerful as the word of God in his mouth." See, because God was revealing to us that he is the spoken truth. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And so we learn the number one thing that God reveals about himself. He sees himself as the Word. So folks, when you meditate on the Word of God, you're building God on the inside of you. When you speak the Word in your home, God is now in your home. Hallelujah. When you speak a healing verse over your body, you're speaking God over your body. When you're meditating and memorizing scripture, God is moving into your mind. Hallelujah. It's not just trite little sayings. It's not for just pillows and doilies and Hallmark cards. Amen. If God has revealed himself as a spoken word, that should tell us what he wants more than anything else. There are two things that God wants from us more than anything else that exists. Number one, since he is the spoken truth, one, he wants to be believed. What God wants more than anything is to be believed. Second, he wants to be obeyed. Because he is the Word, he wants to be believed and he wants to be obeyed. Amen. If you will believe the Word of God, and if you will obey it explicitly, God will invade your life, and the creative light will move into your life. Darkness around you will start to be confounded. Amen, because the Bible says there that the Word shines in darkness, and the darkness understands it not. Don't you want to confuse the darkness of this world? Amen. Praise the Lord. What does it mean? It means that evil has no answer for you. Amen. The Word of God is the first authority. It is the last authority. It is all powerful. The Word of God can do anything. It cannot be deleted. It cannot be erased. It cannot be defeated. The Word of God cannot get sick. The Word of God cannot be broken. Amen. The Word of God is only strength. And God said from the beginning, before there was an earth, there was the Word. After the earth, the Word will still be there. The Word is eternal. It is first and it is final. Amen. So God is saying, see my Word as me. See, God is saying, I'd rather be believed than seen. I'd rather be, now it's not wrong to desire and have a heart to see God and, you know, have a heart to see things and, you know, and see into the spirit and all that. That's a good thing. Those things are great. But first thing is that God wants more than anything else is to be believed. And secondly, he wants to be obeyed. When the word of God is believed and obeyed, things will start being created. Why is this verse telling us in the beginning was the word of God? Now, of course, God has no beginning. God is eternal. He always was. He always will be. But when God words it as in the beginning, it wasn't his beginning. He's talking about before mankind, you know, could understand the beginning of time. Before the earth existed, before the galaxies existed, before the universe existed, God is saying, this is what was. It was me, my word. God was saying, I was standing ready to create with my spoken truth. Now, remember the scripture that tells us that when God could not believe upon any higher, he believed upon himself? See, because when the word is believed, and when it is acted upon, it will create. So the Bible says before, when God created the heavens and the earth, he believed himself. He believed his own word. And so he said, and then he looked at what he said. He said, it was good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so when God was looking to create, he was standing there with his word. Folks, it all begins with the word of God in your life. If you will make a decision today to believe what you hear out of the word, I didn't say if you'll just decide to believe me. I didn't say to believe me. Believe the word, all right? And then if you will believe the word and if you will explicitly act upon it, you will watch God's creative light start showing up around you. Darkness will not be able to stick to you. Darkness will not have an answer. Oh, praise God. But the issue is a lot of Christians, they mentally believe the word, but they don't explicitly act upon the word. Listen, there's a lot of folks, a lot of Christians that they will hear that, you know, God says, lift up your holy hands without wrath or doubting, and they still won't do it. They'll hear the Bible say, hey, tithe your income, and they still won't do it. You know, they will, you know, hear the word on forgiving somebody, but they still won't forgive somebody. Or they'll hear the word on, you know, letting go of addictions, and they still won't do it. And they're wondering where the power of God is. The power of God is on the other side of you believing what he said and doing everything to act upon it. If the scripture tells me to bark like a dog, I would do it. You know, if the word does not instruct us to understand it. You won't understand everything in the word, but the word says to act upon it, to believe it. And it'll create around your life. Amen. So the word is for our meditation. When we meditate on the word and we build that word into our spirit, we're building God into our nature. And you know what God's nature is? Victory. You know what God's nature is? Joy. You know what God's nature is? It's health and strength. See, when you meditate on the scripture, you memorize scripture, you build scripture into your heart, God's victory is moving on the scene. Then you could boldly declare Romans 8:37. No, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I actually misquoted that verse in the first little phrase says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You know, wouldn't the coronavirus be included in all these things? Wouldn't the economy be included in all these things? You know, anything that you can think of, you are more than a conqueror if you will believe the word and if you'll do whatever it takes to act on it. Amen. Don't get critical of the people that are shouting. Don't get critical of the people that are praising. Don't get critical of people that love to give and forgive. Don't get critical of people that love to be in church because they're just obeying the word. Amen. God's voice, his sayings are supposed to be supreme in our lives before our own desires, before our own opinions, before our politics, before our finances, before our families, marriages, and children even. The word is supposed to be supreme in our life. Meditation should be our greatest craft and our greatest trade. Amen. Some Christians, you know, are trying to know the Holy Ghost without first knowing the word. If you don't know the word first, you'll never know the spirit. You know, you can try to have experiences, you can try to have spiritual experiences, but I'm telling you, if you try to have them without a solid, you know, understanding of the word, you'll get flaky. You'll get off. And what you'll do is you'll actually invite the devil. See, the Bible tells us over there in 1 John 4:1, it tells us to test the spirits whether or not they are from God. How do you know that that thought in your mind was from God? How do you know what that preacher is saying on TV is from God? How do you know? You'll only know if you first have the filter of the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Word is for our speaking. It is for our study. It is for our understanding. It is to be our prevailing knowledge. Jesus told his apostles, he said, go out and make students of all nations. The first thing that Jesus said, the number one thing that he wants out of all of us is to be students of the Word. Pastor, that's not as exciting. You know, I want to hear about visions of angels. I want to hear about visions of Jesus. I want to see, you know, this. I want to see this. I want to see the rainbow around God. I want to, you know, see into these things. Listen, all of that you will be taken advantage of by the devil. If you desire those things more than the Word, the devil will provide. You know what? Remember, more than half of the Bible is about a group of people that saw miracles, signs, and wonders, but didn't know the Word. Israel saw a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. They saw the Red Sea split. They saw the water from the rock. They saw manna from heaven. They saw miracle signs and wonders, which praise God for miracle signs and wonders. But what they did not have is a practical understanding of the Word of God, and they were still overthrown. The Word first. The Word first. Look at verse 2. It says, the same, or the Word, was in the beginning with God. Notice that the Word is the beginning of all things. It's the beginning of all things. Like I said, before the earth was, there was the Word. When the heavens and the earth pass away, there will still be the Word. Amen. Glory to God. The Word cannot be moved. It cannot be undone. Amen. Before God does anything, right, the Word must be believed and acted upon. All right? And so if you want a new beginning, all right, if you want a new start in life, you got to first get to the Word. Say, well, no, Pastor, what I want first is the counseling appointment. The counseling appointment is not the beginning of all things. Oh, but Pastor, you know, just lay hands on me and fix my life. No, the laying on of hands is not the beginning of all things. The Word of God, meditated upon, believed, and acted upon by believers, is the beginning of a new life. If you need health in your body, the beginning of health is you going to the Word to fill yourself on the Word. Not to get your pastor's opinion or to get Sister Prayer Warrior praying for you, but the beginning of all things, the beginning of your peace, the beginning of your joy is you going to the Word. You going to the Word. Well, I went to the Word. I went to church today. So that's all the Word I'm going to get this week. That's not what we're talking about. That's like saying I'm only going to eat one meal a week. Yeah, you'll get sick in a hurry. You'll get sick in a hurry. So notice this. The Word of God, it's the beginning of salvation. It's the beginning of peace. It's the beginning of joy and healing or anything that is made. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, if you try to have any of these things without beginning at the Word, you will only fail and be dissatisfied. This is why the world is so unhappy in life. Are you ready? Because they're trying to have everything without starting at the Word. If you try to go out and have prosperity without the Word, you're going to be miserable. You can see all these celebrities. They have a lot of prosperity, but they didn't get it from the Word. And so what is it doing? It's destroying their life. Then they don't have what Ecclesiastes 5:19 and 20 says. They don't have the power to enjoy wealth. You know, there's a power that comes from God to be able to enjoy life. I don't know about you. I'm enjoying life. See, the Bible tells us that we should love life and see good days. Right? 1 Peter 3:10, let him refrain his lips from evil, that his tongue speaks no guile. He will love life and see good days. I'm telling you, if you are not loving life, there's an absence of the word in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. The world, they try to have stuff. They try to have joy. They try to have healing. They try to have peace, but they didn't start with the word. The same was in the beginning with God. God says, before I do anything, I start with my own word. You say, well, Pastor, I need healing in my life. Are you in the word? Find scripture on that. Well, I did. I went and I read it. Well, no. The scripture never tells you to read the scripture. The Bible tells you to feed on the scripture. Meditate on the scripture. Repeat it to yourself over and over. Yeah, you memorize it in your heart and in your mind. See, and as you put it in your heart, God is living in you in a greater way. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. All right. And so go down to verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, the word, and without the word was not anything made that was made. Again, you're not going to have anything in your life unless it first begins with the word of God. Not anything that you can enjoy, at least. So know this, the word makes all things. So here's what you need to know about the word. The light of the word has creative power. All right, so if there's things in your life that you need and are absent in your life or don't exist in your life, well, guess what? The word can create it. Get that in your heart. The word can create it. Maybe you have a dysfunctional family or a dysfunctional marriage. Maybe you're struggling financially or emotionally, or you're struggling with depression. Guess what? God's word can create the peace that you're not experiencing right now. God's word is a creator of joy. Hallelujah. Say, well, Pastor, I'm having a hard time getting through this addiction. I got news for you. The word of God can create a way out of that addiction. Say, well, you know, I just ask anybody who's struggling with addiction, how much are you in the word? Because when I had addictions in my life, I got into the word, and before you know it, the word moved in and the addictions moved out. See, the reason why you're still addicted is because you have left room for addiction. You've left room for the addiction. The word will make all things. So the word is creative light, and this is what I want you to start to see over the next several weeks. The word is creative. The word is creative. You have got to understand that anything around you is only going to come from the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Also, we know this, that Jesus is called the light. And of course, Jesus is also called the resurrection. So we could say it this way. The word isn't only creative, but it is resurrection light. So if something doesn't exist in your life that God has promised you, guess what? The word will create it. Or if something has died in your life, so to speak, you know, meaning your joy or maybe your business or your marriage has seemingly died, well, guess what? The word has light to bring it back to life. Amen. If you feel like your spiritual life, if your relationship with God himself has seemingly died, the word will bring it back to life. Praise the Lord. Amen. So if it doesn't exist, well, no problem. The word can create it. Or if something has died, the word can resurrect it. Praise the Lord. Verse 4 is what we're getting to. In him, in the word, is life, and the life is the light of men. I love this, where it says the word is the light of men, or when also when you go down and you look at verse 9 and it says that the light lights all men in the world. It literally means when you see the life was the light of men, it means to illuminate mankind. Mankind, apart with from the word, the lights are off. It's darkness. But when you start to receive the word of God into your heart, you start to believe it and act on it, all of a sudden lights come on. All of a sudden you can see things that you never saw before. All of a sudden you have direction that you never knew existed anymore. All of a sudden you can walk in joy that you never knew you could have. You know, people ask me before, you know, I've told my testimony about how I used to be addicted to alcohol as a young man. And of course, a lot of parents have come to talk to me about their teenagers or their, you know, young adult children, you know, who are caught in that kind of lifestyle. And they, you know, they ask, you know, how did that happen? How did you, you know, get free from that? What program did you go to? I didn't go to a program. I got hooked on the word. and the Word drove that out. Praise the Lord. It illuminated that when I got into the Word, all of a sudden it turned the lights on. And all of a sudden, I didn't want that anymore. And we're going to talk about two things to know if the light of the Word is in your life, and we're going to get to that here in just a moment. But the light of the Word, it illuminates our life. Listen, I'll tell you what. As the world gets darker, we might as well be brighter and brighter. Sounds a lot like Proverbs 4:18. The path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Well, you aren't going to get brighter and brighter until you get more into the Word and the Word. Listen, there should come a time in your life you get hungry for the Word that you'll turn off the TV. You'll turn off the Facebook. You'll be that student that God said that you should be. You'll stop looking at your Bible sitting on the top of your desk and, oh my Lord, I better get to that. I don't want to be a bad Christian today. I better do my duty and read my Bible, because if I read my Bible, it'll make God like me even more. If you're looking at your Bible sitting on your desk like that, I tell you what, you don't have, you know, when the light of the Word gets on the inside of you, you'll want to pick up that Bible. It won't be a drudge. You know, and if you've let the light go out in your life, your passion for God, I'm telling you, get into the Word, stir yourselves up. I'll guarantee you that light will come right back on. Well, Pastor, I'm so busy. Well, are you too busy to put a little bit more God on the inside? Are you too busy for victory? Are you too busy for joy? Because I'll tell you what, all that other stuff that you're doing to correct your life isn't going to create what you're looking for. The Word is going to create what you're looking for. Amen. And then when you are a student of the Word and then the Spirit moves, or when you do have spiritual experiences, it won't be such a shock to you. You won't sit there and be confused by it. I see so many Christians, they'll tell me, Pastor, I perceived this in a service, or I saw this in prayer, this happened, and I have no way to explain it. Well, first of all, you don't know the Word says God's not a God of confusion. Then God didn't give you something that confused you. Oh, but I don't get it, Pastor. I don't get it. I can tell you why. People say, well, it's because you didn't pray enough. No, you didn't study enough. Your prayer life is not the filter by which you judge things. Your Word life is the filter by which you judge things. Folks, I will be honest. I do not ever ask, pray, seek spiritual experiences. I've had plenty of them. I don't even talk about them. You know why I don't? Because it turns people into, they start to seek experiences over the Word. And as a pastor, I'm supposed to feed the sheep with the Word of God. What you should desire more than anything is revelation in the Word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you what. The Word of God is our owner's manual in this life. Turn the light back on. You know, when you don't understand why life is going the way it is, get into the owner's manual. Find out. Start believing. Start, you know, acting upon that Word. I dare you. If you're someone that's only 1 foot in the church, 1 foot out, you only come to church once in a while, start believing and acting upon the Word to be in church every service. All right? If you're not a tither, be a tither. If you're not a praiser, be a praiser. So many believers are wondering, where's God in my life? He's on the other side of your obedience. Oh, praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this here today? I'm in John chapter 1. Go back to Luke 24. It literally is just 2 pages away. If you just turn back a couple of pages in your Bible, go to Luke 24. Praise the Lord. It's good to be a church family on the property here today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to need to prop those back doors open just a little bit so I can hear those horns beeping a little bit more. Because I know they're out there, and they're hitting those horns, and they're having a Holy Ghost service out there without us. Or maybe they're having a demolition derby. We don't know. I can see right out the back glass. I can see several of the cars. Praise the Lord. They're back there getting fed the Word. Folks, these are interesting times that we live in, isn't it? You know what? But this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Praise the Lord. Well, now see, now we can start saying, look, we filled almost every seat in the house now. on the 4th of July weekend. Oh, praise God. All right, go over to Luke 24. Go to verse 32. Now, we're going to look just directly at this verse. I was going to read the whole passage, but time won't permit. Let me just catch you up with what's going on. Remember after Jesus rose again? Remember how he walked on the road to Emmaus with those two individuals, those two men, that they did not know that it was Jesus that they were talking to? Remember? They were walking along the road, and all of a sudden Jesus, who they didn't know it was Jesus, you know, and this wasn't one of the apostles or anything. You know, Jesus shows up and says, hey, what's going on? What are you guys talking about? And they're like, hey, man, haven't you heard all the things going on in town about Jesus of Nazareth? And you know, Jesus was just kind of, you know, playing dumb, so to speak, in quotations, playing dumb. I did not just call Jesus dumb, you understand. He was playing like, he was leading them on, right? He was leading them on, like, no, well, tell me about it. You know, and they walked along, and Jesus spoke with them, and then they sat down and had a meal together, and then right when they finally understood that it was Jesus that had been with them the whole time, Jesus disappears. See, they had just spent some time with the light. Remember the Pharisees when they saw John and Peter? Remember when they saw these common fishermen being bold and preaching? It says the Pharisees took notice that they had been with Jesus. What is that saying? They took notice that they had been with the Word. They had been with the light. And they acted different. So these two men, they have an encounter with the Word of God. They spend time with the light of the Word. And after Jesus disappeared, look at verse 32 at what they said. And they said one to another. So both of them, they testified to this. They said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way or the road, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Notice what they said. Did not our hearts burn within us while we spent time with the light? And as we spent time with the light, he opened to us the scriptures. Real quickly, two things that will tell you that the light of the Word is active in your life. Are you ready? Number one, are you ready? When it says, did not our heart burn within us? That term burn, if you look it up, it means to set a fire. Set a fire. Number one thing that you know that the light of the Word of God is in your life is that it will set a fire on the inside of you. What that literally means is that it will set new desires and burn out old ones. See, people ask me how I got free from alcohol. I'll just tell you, it was real simple. I got the Word of God that started to set new desires in my heart, and it burned out those old ones. It burned out the old desire of alcohol. It burned out the old desire of profanity and speaking wrong. It burned out the desires for vulgar and promiscuous living and entertainment. Amen. He said, when we got into the Word, when we talked to the light, when we were there fellowshipping with Christ, our hearts burned within us. There's a new desire, a new passion, a new drive. Folks, that's what we're going to be doing over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be getting a new fire, a revived interest in the Word of God. That we get into the revelation of the Word and let God draw out of that in our midst and in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, when the light of the Word shines in your heart, all of a sudden you get a new desire. All of a sudden, it's not like I have to go to church. I want to go to church. I don't have to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. Amen. I don't have to pray. I want to pray. Come on now. It's time to stir that up. Praise the Lord. See, also, when the light of the Word is in your life, it will shine upon the areas of your life that need correction. I know no one in here or out in our parking lot would ever need any correction. I mean, I'm the only one here. I'm the only one that needs the correction of God. So as someone that needs correction of God, you know, it's in that time where that light of the Word will shine upon the places in my life that I need to correct. Anyone else ever need a little correction? All right, good. I'm not the only one. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. But when the light of the word shines upon your life, it won't make your sin ugly to God, because he's seen humanity's sin forever. It's always been ugly to him. All right? But when the light of the word shines upon your heart, if you have sin in your life, it'll make that sin ugly to you. And the reason why people don't change is because their sin is not ugly to themselves enough yet. When your sin or your lifestyle that is disobedient to God becomes ugly enough to you, you'll change. Number one way that you know that the light of the word is active in your life is that old desires are passing away and new ones are being set by the word. You got a burning desire. Come on, baby, light my... Oh, wait. I have a feeling that Jim Morrison, when he was singing that, wasn't talking about the word of God. But the word will light your fire. He'll light the right fire. We're not going to sing that song in praise and worship. Don't worry. See, when our sin becomes so ugly, we will make adjustments in our lives. We'll make corrections in our life. When you get into the word, all of a sudden it's like, I just can't do that anymore. Can't do that anymore. Just refuse to do that. Amen. All of a sudden I've got a new desire. Yeah, I can't think about partying and drinking anymore. Actually, I want to serve in the church. Can't wait to get there. Can't wait to give to God. Oh, my goodness. Praise the Lord. When I first got saved, you know, I just was like, all right, I'm going to be in church now. And I'm not going to just sit there, but I've got to serve. I remember the first church that my wife and I were connected to was Stockton Community with Pastor Hamilton. Many of you, we've had him here before, and we've honored him. He was our first pastor, and we're so grateful, you know, for him. And, of course, God took us to Pastor Michael. We're super grateful for him. And, you know, Pastor Hamilton, right from day one, he was so gracious. I mean, I was coming into church. I had my cutoff khakis. You know, I had my sandals. I had my hair was long. I had the curls going in the back. I had a big old beard. I was pretty much living on a sailboat, you know, all this stuff. That man never looked at me funny. He never treated me any differently. And when I said, hey, Pastor, I just got a heart to serve. What can I do around here? He plugged my wife and I into their Awana program, and we weren't even teaching it or leading it. We were like sweeping up the Cheerios crumbs off the floor. I tell you what, I'd rather be sweeping up Cheerios crumbs off the floor of a church than sitting on the stool in a bar. See, that's what the light of the word will do to you. I'd rather be washing tables in the church than at some dance club. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Number one, there will be a new fire set on the inside of your heart. And here's the second thing, and this is where we're going to close. Wow. A one-hour church service inside this building. I told you the Word of God is creative light. See, you've been speaking that for years and years, and now it's creating it around us. Here's the second thing. Notice they said, not only did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, and while he opened to us the scriptures. When the word of God, when the light of the word is in your heart, the scriptures will be opened to you. All right? This, you could say, is the beginning of understanding the Spirit of God. Open the scriptures. Many Christians are reading the scriptures, but few have them opened to them. See, when it says opened, they're saying the word of God became revelation to us. See, a lot of people can mentally read the Bible, but when it becomes revelation to you, you act. Action is the proof that you believe. Action is the proof that you believe what's in the word. Not just you reading it or mentally agreeing with it, your actions determine what you believe. See, when the scriptures are open to you, you will no longer see them as words on a page, but you'll see them as a sword in your hand. Ephesians chapter 6 calls the word of God what? The sword of the Spirit. The sword is a weapon, or it's a tool used to cut things down in your way. See, anything, that sword is what's going to guarantee victory in your life. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, if you haven't learned it already, there's a lot of opposition on this earth. I'm going to use a quick illustration here. Many of you know that I like to work on old cars, and I'm not talking about such like brand new fancy ones. I'm talking about really kind of old jalopies. My wife says, yes, definitely jalopies. And several months ago, I purchased a 1966 Chevy Impala. And you're thinking, oh man, it must be a showroom hot rod. No. When I got it, it rode down the road like a garbage can on wheels, all right? Okay, the paint's bad on it. The suspension was completely shot. It was solid, no rust, because it was from Texas. But, it was not a pristine car by any means, okay? And so when I got it, I took all the suspension parts off of it and replaced all the suspension. And just recently, I had to replace the rear coil springs. You know those springs underneath your cars? You've seen them, those little curly cues under there that keep your riding all nice and soft. Well, I had to take the old ones out and put new ones in. And if you've ever tried to replace coil springs, sometimes the old ones do not want to come out. And I was trying to get the old ones out. I had a crowbar. I'm trying to pry it out, all this stuff. I dropped the rear differential on the ground. They still wouldn't come out, all this stuff. And finally, all of a sudden, it dawned on me. I'm thinking, I've got a tool over here in the tool chest that will cut these things out of my way. It's a cutting wheel or a grinder wheel. And I went over, I got that in, I plugged it in, I put on my safety goggles, zip. I cut those springs out of that car. They fell right out in about 30 seconds. All right? The Word of God is just like that. When something is resisting you, when something is hindering you in your life, you've got the sword of the Word of God to cut that thing down. But so many people are trying to live life, trying to, you know, pry it out of their way and struggle in thought and get every counselor's opinion on it. Get the Word of God in your heart. When sickness is trying to attack you, take out the sword of the Word of God. Cut that thing down before you. Amen. If poverty, if lack, if depression, if fear is resisting you in this life, do you have the light of the Word to speak that? See, when sickness tries to come against my body, you know, we can say, by His stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. Right? You know, we can say Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. See, what that is, that's not just words on a page. That's a sword in the hand. And when the Word is light to you, and when it's revelation to you, it is a sword in your hand, not a book on your desk. And see, most Christians, oh, here I am, God. I like you today, so I'm reading my Bible. Here I am, a good little religious boy, reading my Bible. Yeah, you read the Bible. You read the book, but you didn't pick up the sword. The sword is when fear comes to you and knocks on your mind and tries to tell you how depressed you should be. And you just remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:31. You say, I take no thought saying. I cast down thoughts and imaginations. In Jesus' name, spirit of fear, you be away from me. Because 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. See, the devil's going to constantly knock on your door and try to make a delivery to you and see if it belongs to you or not. See if you will receive it or not. But I tell you what. You know, you wouldn't be playing that game. The devil would not be playing that game with so many Christians if they had a big sword on their belt. You know, a year ago, my family and I, we went out west, and we drove through the states of Arizona and Nevada. And you know what? We got into some rural parts of Arizona, and you'd go into the gas station, and there'd be Billy Bob, you know, filling up his pickup truck. And he's got a huge chrome-plated 357 right on his hip. See, in New York, you got to conceal your weapons like this. You know, see, the people out in the vehicles, they just heard that. And they think, no, I've not got anything on me today, goodness gracious. But other days, you never know. But out there, out in Arizona, man, you'd stop at the gas station, you'd go in there, and there'd be some dude come in, and I mean, he's not a police officer or something. He's just loving America. He's got a big old 357 revolver on his hip, and the first thing you think of is, I'm not going to mess with him. Not that I was going to anyway, but if somebody had the thought of, you know what I mean? So that, you know, weapon on his hip wasn't so much as an offensive weapon as it was a preventative weapon. When he walked into the store, you know, dude comes in, he's got his cowboy hat on, he's all dusty, dirty, he's got his, you know, cowboy shirt, and he's got his revolver on his hip, you're thinking, all right, you don't want to mess with that old boy right there. You don't want to mess with him. You know, the devil should look at each one of us, and they should see a sword on our side. He should see the sword and say, you know what? See, that's what it means. The darkness understands it not. The light of the word will, you'll see that light on someone's life. And, you know, isn't that what 1 John 5:18 says? He that sins not is begotten of God, and the wicked one cannot touch him. The wicked one cannot touch him. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, of the wicked one, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Say, well, Pastor, I am hearing the word from your mouth. Yeah, well, you should start hearing the word from your mouth. When you meditate in the word, amen? Remember when we said this was going to be an hour-long service? Did you get any help here today? What sword are you carrying on your belt? See, that man that walked into that store in Arizona, there were several of them, but I just remember one guy who's walking up to the gas station. Of course, in New York, we're just not used to that. You know, and I'm standing there, and I just look over at the guy, and I mean, he's got this big old revolver, and you just look over and like, whoa. Guess you don't mess with him. When a guy pulls in a 1979 Ford pickup truck with a cowboy hat and a chrome-plated 357 on his hip, don't mess with that guy. How many of you want to go get a 1979 Ford pickup truck now? Praise the Lord. But that's an illustration of how the devil should see us in the spirit. See, the Bible says he's seeking whom he may devour. That sword on our side is an evident token to the enemy. Can't devour him. Not going to try to devour him because he knows that we've got a tool on our belt that's going to break out and is going to cut those springs down. Did you get some help here today? Glory to God. See, that's why we memorize Scripture. That's why we meditate in Scripture. We're building God on the inside. We're putting a sword on our belt. See, when the light of the Word, you know, see, that's what the Scriptures were open to them. It wasn't just, you know, before they talked with Jesus, the Scriptures were just a dusty old law. But all of a sudden, it became life to them. Became life to them. What are you saying when this world comes against you? What are you taking the word of God and cutting those things down? Listen, you know, we hear testimonies all the time of when people get saved, healed, or financial testimonies. But you know what? We should hear testimonies maybe after salvation. We should hear testimonies how people just aren't afraid anymore. That's a great testimony. Folks, I'll give one right now. I'm not afraid anymore. Not afraid, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, that of course it's okay to wear a mask and, you know, during this virus thing. It's okay to sit out in your vehicle. It's okay, you know, to take common sense precautions. You understand? I'm just saying, not scared of the virus. Not scared of what happens to the economy, though I'm glad it's coming back. You know, not scared. I'm not scared about the election. I'm not scared about politics. Stop living life so afraid. Oh, I'm afraid what's going to happen, afraid this is going to happen. Well, then you're in bondage. You better take that sword out and say, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord has said, he is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. Amen. Hebrews 13:6. Did you get something out of this here today? Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. You are so faithful and so good. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness. You are the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the Word. You came to a world that you made and you were recognized not. Lord, we just thank you. Your word is creative light. It is resurrective light. And Lord, when that light is on the inside of us, it'll create new desires. It'll set a fire on the inside. Lord, we thank you that your word will open to us, be real to us, not just words on a page, but a weapon in our hand. According to Ephesians chapter 6, where you say that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we know this, everything the Spirit does is by the word. And so, Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, of course, even out there in your vehicles. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, let me just share with you real quickly what the Bible says. Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so if you're here today and you've never done that, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to give you that opportunity right now. Of course, I have, you know, I can only see the people that are in the building, but also if you're in the parking lot, this would apply to you too. God can see you even if I can't. But if you're here in the building today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I've never made Jesus my Lord and Savior, and today's the day that I want to do that. If that's you, I'm going to simply ask you to lift up your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'm not going to call you up out of your seats. I'm not going to bring you forward. But once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'm going to lead this entire congregation in a prayer right there in your seat. You can pray right along with everybody and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And if you're in your vehicle today, you can pray right along with us. God will hear you too. So if that's you and you're inside the building, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, that's me. Today I know I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. I want to be saved. I want to know that heaven is my home. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be saved. Of course, as I look around, I know just about everybody. But just in case there's somebody that we missed, God loves you. He's got a great plan for you. Father God, I don't see any hands. But Lord, what we're going to do, we're going to pray that prayer anyway because there are people that are watching by live stream, people in the parking lot. Let's all go ahead and just pray this prayer together. And if for some reason someone is hearing my voice and you need Jesus in your life, pray this prayer. God will hear you. Mean it with all of your heart. Pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Are you ready to get on fire for the Word of God? Amen. Well, folks, what we're going to do, we're going to be dismissed here in just a few moments. Hey, we're going to go ahead right now. We have the ushers out there in the parking lot. They're going to begin to dismiss the drive-in folks. So those of you that are still hearing me in your vehicles, God bless you. We love you. You can follow the usher's instructions. Of course, our offering will be received at the exits of the parking lot for you folks. Also, for those of you that are in the building, I'm going to dismiss you by section here in just a moment. Folks, when we dismiss, we're asking that you immediately stand up and go right outside the building. We are not loitering inside the building at all. And we're doing that just to be mindful of health regulations and so on. So when your section is dismissed, you know, you can stand right up, head for the exits. That way it'll avoid a bottleneck at the door. Also, when you leave the building, head to the right. There are vehicles that are exiting right out there. We don't want you walking down in front of any of those. Praise the Lord. So at this time, why don't we go ahead and start with this section over here. You can stand up. And we'll go ahead and dismiss you. Everyone else, just remain seated here for just a moment. God bless you. If you just, you know, the Bible says that kingdom business requires haste. God bless you. You're dismissed. And then what we're going to do here in a moment, we'll get this section over here on the other side. If you guys want to go ahead and stand up.